Do snakes make you shake? Do heights give you a fright? Does cotton wool make you cringe? Welcome to KLTV, My Health is My Wealth. I'm Nikki, and today's podcast is all about the fascinating world of fears and phobias. Fears and phobias are a common and natural part of being human. They are intense and irrational fears that cause significant distress and interfere with daily life. While fears are common and can be based on real threats, phobias are excessive and irrational fears that are often triggered by specific objects, situations, or activities. Fears and phobias can cause physical symptoms like rapid heartbeat, sweating, trembling, and a shortness of breath. Joining me today is Jo Levan, a fully qualified clinical and solution-focused hypnotherapist. Together, we are going to discuss fears and phobias to try and ascertain what they are, how we get them, the effects they have on us, and what we can do to minimise the pain and anguish that they cause. Welcome, Jo. How are you?
Yeah. Hi, Nikki. I'm fine, thank you. Good. Yes. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, no fears at the moment.
Good, so don't look at the spider in the corner over there.
Okay, so let's dive straight in. Jo, can you explain the difference between a fear and a phobia?
Yeah, so a fear is an emotional response to a current perceived danger, and a phobia is a persistent excessive fear of an object or situation. So, or you can compare a phobia almost to an anxiety disorder. An anxiety, of course, is a response in preparation of a future threat, so the what ifs. So fears tend to be common, obviously, and based on real threats. Phobias, on the other hand, tend to be excessive, they tend to be irrational, but they also vary in severity amongst individuals. So, you know, some people just have mild anxiety if they see a spider, where other people might have a fully blown panic attack.
Okay. And what do you think are the most common fears or phobias that people
experience?
Well,
I think the most common one is actually spiders. And the term for that is arachnophobia. If I've said that correctly.
Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
I know, I've got it.
but basically, phobias centre around a particular object, animal, situation or activity. So you can have animal phobias like the spiders, rats, snakes, dogs, cats, environmental, so contamination, health, anxiety, germs, obviously that was very common during COVID, and obviously quite a lot of people are still suffering from that now. Situational, so flying, dentist, injections, bodily phobias, so being sick, vomiting is quite a common one. Blood, you know, people faint if they see blood. Sexual phobias as well, all about the performances. So there's a wide range of phobias that exist.
Right. And are they just as common in men as they are in women, I would imagine?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they tend to be sort of specific or simple phobias, but then you have complex phobias. So the complex phobias tend to be more disabling. And they tend to develop during adulthood and are often associated with a deep-rooted fear or anxiety about a particular situation or circumstance. So the most common complex phobia is agoraphobia and social anxiety as well.
And how do phobias actually develop in individuals?
Well, there are different ways for them to develop. Learned behaviour is one of them. So if you think about spiders again, so a child's playing in the living room, sees a spider, goes up and thinks, "Ooh, I like this spider, what can it do?" Mum comes in, screams as loudly as she can, And the child then thinks, spiders are something to be frightened of. And they then develop a phobia of spiders.
Right. And I've heard that actually pregnant women can pass fears on to their unborn child. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So that's the biological part of it. Obviously, learned behaviour, as we've said. Also things that have happened. So if you're flying and you've been in heavy turbulence, you'll probably be frightened of flying from then on as well. So a particular incident or trauma, learned response, or genetics can play a role. And in solution-focused hypnotherapy and neuro-linguistic programming, which is what I use to treat clients, it's really interesting to see that allergies are also associated with phobias too.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, somebody's at a party, the balloon bursts, and the child is then afraid of bursting balloons, but then they can develop a latex allergy.
Wow.
Because the balloon burst and they smelt the latex as it burst.
Right.
So it's quite interesting, actually, how they can develop.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And what are the potential impacts of fears and phobias on a person's daily life and their well-being?
Well, it depends how extreme it is, but obviously panic attacks, just anxiety, can't breathe properly, some people get wheezy. Agoraphobia, for example, people don't leave the house because they are too afraid. So the impact can be huge.
Right. So, Jo, you've mentioned quite a few common phobias, but I'm wondering if you can share a couple more with us that we don't necessarily know about.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've all got long names anyway. Right. So, you know, I've come across, and if I say this right, gephrophobia, which is the fear of crossing a bridge.
Right.
Spectrophobia, fear of mirrors. Androphobia, fear of men.
Crack.
And the other quite interesting one is tocophobia, which is fear of childbirth. And Helen Mirren apparently overheard a mum talking to a friend about how bad her birth was with Helen Mirren. And because of that, Helen Mirren has never had children, never had babies.
Wow.
So that's obviously learnt behaviour.
Yeah.
But you get all sorts of phobias.
I mean, we've mentioned about sort of like the daily struggles that people would have, and just you listing those there, I mean, some people must find daily activities really, really difficult.
Yeah, and a lot of people do. People with health anxiety, for example, if they get a lump somewhere, they immediately think they've got cancer and they're going to die. And of course, everybody looks at Google and they just get more and more afraid. So some people do live in this constant sort of cycle of anxiety.
It's not like feeding their own fear, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, exactly that, Nikki.
Can you advise anybody who's listening about what possible techniques or strategies they can use to cope if they're struggling with a fear or a phobia?
Yeah, of course. So obviously it depends on the level of anxieties that people have got. But if people come to me for hypnotherapy to help with the phobia, the first thing that I do is talk about how the brain works so that they understand why they've got that phobia. So what happens is we've got one brain but two minds. So we have our intellectual mind, which is the rational part of our brain, and then we've got the primitive part of the brain, the original primitive part, or the emotional mind. So if you have a phobia and you see that spider, you move straight from your intellectual mind into your primitive mind, and that's when you'll have a fight, flight, freeze reaction to it. Mm. And that's because the amygdala, which is in that primitive mind, has taken a snapshot of something that's happened.
Right.
And pattern matches with lots of different files and folders that you have in your brain. Mm-hmm. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So, I mean, we're talking about all the senses really, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right.
Whether it's a smell or a touch or whatever on earth it is that can set something off.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, interestingly, if you think about people who've been bullied at school, for example, and they've left school 20 years later, they're going to a supermarket, hear that voice, recognise it as that bully, and they go straight into the fight, flight, freeze part of the brain and start to panic as they did at that time when they were at school.
So they could have had nothing for years and then just that one voice.
Yeah, that's right, because the amygdala is pattern matched to the sound of that voice.
Right.
So I always explain to people what's happening in the brain. And then what I would do, as I say, is use a mixture of hypnotherapy and neuro-linguistic programming. So help people to relax and stay calm using different techniques, breathing techniques. So in through your nose, out through your mouth as deeply as you can. I use something called hand breathing. So people breathe in as they go up one finger, and breathe as they come down that finger, and go up and down each finger on that hand. Focus on the hand so it's distracting them from anything that's going on in the head.
So for our listeners, like you put your hand on a sheet of paper and you're literally drawing round the outline
of
your hand
do.
And while you're doing that,
you're
concentrating on your breathing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And not thinking about what's going on in your head. And then another really good technique is the havening technique. So to do that, and this was done during COVID in intensive care, so you cross your arms onto your shoulders, which is a bit like giving yourself a hug, which releases oxytocin, which is a good chemical as opposed to the cortisol that you have when you're frightened of something.
Right.
And then stroke your arms from your shoulders down to elbows, which releases serotonin, which helps you to feel calm and focused. And then I advise clients to think of their safe, happy place, close their eyes and count to 20. So again, distraction techniques, calming techniques, they breathe in deeply and takes them away from that fear.
Right. I mean, so say for example, somebody was in a meeting or in a busy public place.
Yeah.
They may not feel that they can start rubbing from their elbows to elbows to the shoulders in the fear that, you know, somebody's going to take the mick out of them.
Just deep breathing.
Yeah. I was going to say, would like staring at a blank wall help just to...
Yeah. Yes. That would help as well.
Yeah.
Or think of something to do with all your different senses as well, to distract you from that phobia that you've got. I mean, that's really the first stage, is just helping people to learn how they can calm themselves and relax themselves. So I would also give them a hypnotherapy relaxation track to listen to every night before they go to sleep, which again is going to help them to relax. And it almost replicates the REM part of your sleep.
Right.
So everybody should have 20 to 25% of REM sleep. Mm-hmm. Some people have more, some people have less. But the important thing about the REM sleep is that it moves the emotions and thoughts from the primitive mind into the intellectual mind, where it becomes more of a narrative. Mm-hmm. So do you remember parents used to say, go to bed and sleep on it?
Oh, yeah.
And when you did, the next morning, actually, it was never quite as bad as it was the night before.
True.
So again, that's going to help people to relax more. Mm. So in terms of helping people with the phobias, the first couple of sessions will all be about learning to relax. Then we get onto the actual phobia itself. And if somebody's had an experience, maybe they've woken up and a spider's run across the body and they're absolutely petrified of it. Then we do something called a rewind on that. So we're effectively changing the memory so it becomes different. So once it's different and you can add humour to it, make it funny.
Yeah.
And once it becomes different, it's a different memory and they don't have that same fear.
Right.
And then the last session would be what we call a reframe. So it's helping people to move forward so that if they see that spider, they've been absolutely fine because the brain doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination.
Right, wow.
So they watch themselves, or they watch themselves in a room with the spider, and we send them into the future so that they can look back and think, yeah, that was fine. I mean, that's just one of the techniques. That's the most common technique that we use.
Yeah. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you, Jo. I could go on for hours on this. So thank you so much for your time today. And to everybody who's listening into this, I hope you found it as interesting as what I have. And just remember that everybody, every single one of us, we have some sort of fear or phobia. This does not make us strange in any way. It just makes us unique, which is ultimately what we all strive for. So take care, everybody. And I look forward to having you join us for future episodes of My Health is My Wealth. Thank you.